Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik, and in for Jessica Tai, it's Telly Hughes.
Are you finding that a disproportionate number of Planet Fitness ads are on television the last couple of days? Just me. It started around Christmas week. Like, I cannot watch 5 minutes of television without seeing a Planet Fitness ad.
No, I don't think that's you, man. I think that's the real deal.
Calculated marketing dollars being spent trying to capitalize on a new year, new thoughts, and maybe a new fitness goals as you approach 2026. Well, he's Telly Hughes. We're here till 3 o'clock, and we'll take you right to Wisconsin's afternoon news.
It's now at noon on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Well, it's going to be a great next few days here with the best speed skaters in the United States and some of the best in the world aiming to realize their Olympic dream right in Milwaukee. 2026 U.S. Long Track Speed Skating Trials begin later today at the Pettit Center, adjacent to the Wisconsin State Fair grounds. Among the athletes competing, Keewaskum's Jordan Stoltz, a current world record holder in the 1,000. He's a 6-time world champion. Got to become the face here of U.S. speed skating for men. So why Milwaukee for this year's trials? Kevin Butler is the Pettit Center's marketing director. He explains.
Salt Lake City is obviously at altitude. And so Salt Lake and Milwaukee are the only indoor ovals in the United States. And so Salt Lake being at altitude is always going to be quicker. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Less drag and everything else. But we are one of the fastest sea level tracks in the world. And so while we won't match Salt Lake times, we will have times that are good for sea level. And given that the games are relatively at sea level over in Italy, it should provide a similar environment. And I think that's what U.S. speed skating, that's why they wanted it here in Milwaukee. Besides the great fan turnout, like that's a huge part of it too, knowing that the Milwaukee community really supports this event. It's trying to mimic the conditions the best you can. Now, the ice is going to be different, of course, but you still try and get the pressure and all that kind of stuff as similar as possible so they have those conditions so they know what to expect when they get over to Italy.
Also in attendance will be women's 500-meter Olympic champion Erin Jackson. She'll be on the ice this weekend. Tickets for Saturday and Sunday sold out. Can't find a ticket, maybe on the secondary market, but still limited tickets available for Monday of next week. It's a great event. Some of the best in the world before they go to Italy.
I was going to say the same thing. It is so cool just seeing that where some of the Olympic athletes are going to start. And you can look back and say, wow, they were in Milwaukee trying to make the team. So it is a really cool event. Swiss investigators are trying to figure out what caused a deadly fire at a bar on New Year's Eve in the resort town of Kranz, Montana. ABC News foreign correspondent Tom Sophie Burridge.
Dramatic eyewitness accounts emerging of that devastating inferno inside a Swiss bar where around 40 young people died at a New Year's party. Video showing the venue's ceiling on fire, the flames quickly spreading. Around 115 injured in the blaze, officials saying most of them in a serious condition.
Investigators have ruled out terrorism. One eyewitness tells reporters she believes the fire may have been started by sparklers in drinks that were being held too close to the ceiling.
Yeah, all sorts of video on this and in some of those moments. And yes, you could see it. They got sparklers attached to champagne bottles and people are holding them up in the air celebrating the new year. And it's a timber ceiling, right? And it just gets too close. So there's the spark. Flames get exacerbated within a matter of moments. There's like one exit. There's one in, one out. So not enough security exits to safely get yourself out of that place. And people just got tramped. They're trampling on each other to try and get out.
Probably not well thought out when you're talking about things like fire hazards and having that many people and only having one way in, one way out. That probably wasn't well thought out.
No, certainly not. And a sizable earthquake rocking the streets of Acapulco.
The quake with a magnitude of 6.5 could be felt 300 miles away in Mexico City, where President Claudia Sheinbaum was conducting her first weekly press conference of the year.
Ya muy pronto, espero la próxima semana, lunes o martes. Hoy está temblando.
The room was evacuated, but Sheinbaum returned later to say that she had spoken with the governor of Guerrero State, where the quake was centered, and was told that so far there were no reports of serious damage. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Yeah, so no major structural failures or casualties have been confirmed, but these were pretty strong tremors that moved through the area, buildings shaking nearly 300 miles away in Mexico City. And remember, Acapulco, they're still in a phase of recovery following the devastation of Hurricane Otis. Remember that? This was late 2023, and that just destroyed much of the city's coastal infrastructure. Yeah. So add this. They're trying to get things together, and a couple of years into that pursuit, and then you got an earthquake that kind of rocks your area.
Yeah, and there's been other areas like that, well, other countries where they're still trying to recover from previous hurricanes or whatever the case may be, and now you have other things that are compounding that. So hopefully things can get back to normal in Acapulco, especially, I mean, it's such a tourist destination.
Big
and
one,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, hopefully that gets better sooner than later.
12:15 on WTMJ. August football in January. We'll explain after this. So Matt LaFleur has made his decision, and it's going to be August football in January in Minnesota on Sunday. Regular season finale against the Vikings will look a little like a preseason game.
Have a little laugh out here. We look like we're half dead out here. Let's move a little bit.
Well, Jordan Love is through the concussion protocol, but Clayton Tune is going to start at quarterback on Sunday, and that means Love will enter the postseason having not taken a game snap in 10 quarters.
I wouldn't say it's ideal, but it's the circumstance, and so we got to find a way to make the best of that circumstance, and we would have loved to have had him play versus Baltimore, and that wasn't the case. I mean, shoot, we planned for it for the majority of the week in regards to how we allocated the reps, and he's out there, and he didn't clear.
So nor Jordan Love, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of members of the offensive line also out. Injuries are part of the problem here. You're also just trying to get healthy. But the decision has been made. This is going to look like a preseason game. Some familiar names will be on the field, and many will not.
And, Greg, we were together on Monday, and I said the same thing. I am so okay with this. I really believe that the Packers are probably one of the most banged up teams, but I'm sure there are other teams that feel like their team is the most banged up as well. But we know the injuries and the critical positions that the Packers are dealing with. And if you can get another week of rest and hopefully getting some of these guys to 100 or close to 100% as you can, I think you do it. I don't think you have anything to prove. Jordan Love has no reason to have to go out there this final week. The Packers are slotted in the seventh seed, regardless of what happens. That's not going to change. So what do you want to see from Jordan Love? If you did say, I want to see him out there, what do you want to see? I mean, he's already had a full season. Well, besides the games he's missed, he's played most of the season. So it's not like he needs to find a rhythm or anything like that. That's why they have practice. So I don't think there is any sort of benefit whatsoever putting Jordan Love or Josh Jacobs or any other starter out there for this game.
Going to be a handful of familiar names, as I mentioned, because you got to dress 48, right? You got to get 48 people.
Got to get 48 people out there
ready
somewhere.
To go, somehow, some way. So yes. You expect to see some familiar names.
Here's what I told the team. We have 53 spots on our roster. You can have two call-ups. You have 48 dressed on game day. So there's going to be some starters that aren't going to play. Shoot, they may not suit up. They might suit up. And then you're going to have some starters that are going to play. So basically, you guys will find out on Sunday who's playing.
So, yeah, a bit of a hybrid approach is what it sounds like here.
Obviously, medical is going to drive some of these decisions for us. It is what it is, and you just got to make the best of it. And then you got to make collectively the best decision, what you think puts your team in the best position possible moving forward.
So he's treating it like a bye week, right? So if you would ask me, Greg, do you think the Packers are in need of a bye week? Are they that beat up? It's a heck yeah. They would gladly take a week off and just try and hit the reset button here going into the postseason, hoping to get some players who are banged up back on the field and ready to go. They've also lost three straight games, and there is a possibility they end up getting into the playoffs on a four-game losing streak, which is also not very common.
That's right? What I was going to say. Like, once the playoffs start, everyone has a 0-0 record. And it doesn't matter if you've won the last nine games or if you've lost the last four games. The playoffs start, That's all thrown out the window. And so I don't think that the Packers will go in and say, oh, man, we've lost three of our last four games, or we've lost four straight games, or we got to find a way to turn it around. I think they're just so focused on trying to win that game. And the same thing goes for any team that is on a hot streak. Like, for instance, the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos go into the playoffs saying, heck, we've won 11 of our last 13 games. We should be good. But you can still lose that first game, and your season is over. So to me, all of that really doesn't matter. Do you want to go into the playoffs feeling good about where you are and playing your best ball? Absolutely. But that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, you also want your starting quarterback on the field for that playoff game. So, and remember last year in a meaningless game against the Chicago Bears, Christian Watson decided to gut it out. Romeo Doubs got injured and he was sidelined. So Watson came back, said, yeah, I'll play. And then he tore his ACL, right? And then the Packers were without their most explosive wide receiver going into the playoffs. And that felt like kind of a death sentence for the Packers.
Yes.
I would also argue that the Packers are not in great shape on defense. They're beat up. They've lost their best player in Micah Parsons. That there is some room to grow there, and I don't know if a game against Minnesota is going to really help that pursuit going into the postseason. One guy who is expected to be on the field on Sunday and make his Packers debut is Trayvon Diggs. This is a very interesting move here for the Packers. So he was waived by the Cowboys earlier this week. Stories out of Dallas indicate his relationship with the head coach and the defensive coordinator had soured. His relationship with the organization had soured over the course of not only this season, but going back to last offseason as well. On the field, this dude was all everything in 2021. He was a first-team All-Pro. He had 11 interceptions, which is just insane. Mm-hmm. Incredibly high number. It helps when you play next to Micah Parsons, by the way, and Parsons was his teammate. So a Pro Bowler in 2021, Pro Bowler in 2022, signs a massive, massive contract for a cornerback in July of 2023. 5 years, $97 million. And then he tore his ACL like 2 weeks into the season. And then he had some cartilage issues in his knee in 2024. Then he had a concussion to begin this season. Some believe he's damaged goods. Some believe a change of scenery will do him well, and that being in Green Bay, a far more professional organization than the Cowboys, might be just what he needs. I don't know the answer to that. But it's worth the Packers to find out because they're not in great shape at that position.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this was an absolutely tremendous pickup, especially it's not costing you draft picks. It's not costing you a lot. And I'm sure that the Cowboys are going to cover most of his contract unless – I mean, the remaining part of his contract probably is nothing compared to what the Cowboys have already paid him. And I do believe in a change of scenery sometime, because it's just like when you work anywhere and someone comes in and they have a different philosophy than you, and you may not fit into what they are trying to do. Then what happens is either it's going to have to be a breakup. You just can't walk in and say, I'm done with this. I don't fit in here anymore. And the organization is not going to say, well, we gave you all this money, so you better find a way to fit in. So I believe that this is a great situation for Trayvon, who is coming here, and we know what he can do on the field, and you don't know what type of support he was having off the field down in Dallas. So, again, I think it's a great pickup. I think this game is imperative for him to play in so he can get some familiarity with what this Packers defense is trying to accomplish and have him ready for the playoffs. But in regards to any of the other starters, there's absolutely, again, no need to play them in this game.
This is a very interesting situation. It's not often that a two-time Pro Bowler and a first-team All-Pro just a few years ago gets dropped into your lap right before the postseason begins.
Yeah.
And 1 week after, the Packers had two season-ending injuries to defensive backs, Nate Hobbs and Kamal Haddon. And these weren't great players in the Packers organization, but it's part of their depth,
yep.
And they're out. So you need more than just a body. I think they found one. At least somebody with a little experience. You're not going to find that kind of resume just available.
No.
You know, a week before the postseason begins.
Exactly.
So that's what's happening in Green Bay. It'll be kind of a preseason feel to Sunday's game against the Vikings. Also, Sunday, the Packers will learn their round one postseason opponent, something they have no control over. It'll be either the Bears or the Eagles. Interesting stuff. Final week of the NFL season is upon us. It was born August 1st, 1981, and it officially came to an end December 31st, 2025.
6, 5, 4. We've gone for main engine start. We have main engine start.
Yeah, music television.
Rock and roll.
MTV. One of the first voices you heard back in 1981 was Mark Goodman, a video jockey, not a disc jockey.
Welcome to MTV Music Television, the world's first 24-hour stereo video music channel.
Now, I don't remember this launching in 1981, but I do remember being a kid growing up watching MTV because you got to see music videos. The music you listened to on the radio came to life on MTV, and that was the goal. Play music videos morning, noon, and night.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you.
All right, so this was the first video ever played on MTV. Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles. It's just a terrible song. But the lyrics resonated with the advent of technology and how songs that previously lived on only radio were now available on TV with that corresponding video.
Yes, yes. No, it was cool because that was the first place you saw videos where artists would show who they are and what they're doing and act out their songs. And before then, you really didn't see it. Like, where was videos available before MTV?
Well, not online, because online didn't really exist either.
It didn't exist, exactly.
Right? So it was a concert. That was your live performance.
Yes.
But some of these videos were basic, right? They just sort of the duration of the song. But others turned into mini motion pictures. Yeah, my parents still won't let me watch the Thriller video. They think it'll freak me out for life. But yes, I mean, this is like a 13-minute production, the Michael Jackson video of Thriller. It was a full story, and then he wove in the song, and Vincent Price, his crazy laughter during the middle, and it's an unforgettable sort of video, maybe the video of all videos on MTV.
Yes, and I mean, when that generated even more buzz, because if I'm not mistaken, was it Black or White, or one of Michael Jackson's, like, there was a premiere.
Yes, Black or White had Macaulay Culkin in it.
Yes, and it was network television. Like, this was on Fox, NBC, ABC. They premiered Michael Jackson's videos, but that doesn't happen if the buzz isn't generated from MTV and they're looking at all the things that they're doing, and it has launched so many careers, MTV did at that particular time. Carson Daly was the first, one of the first VJs that they had, and he's parlayed that into a long career in other areas and other networks. But it just seems so funny, even back then, when they talked about a channel that would only play music videos. That just seems so absurd. It was like, who's going to watch that? And,
yeah.
And to see what it morphed into, and the spinoffs and MTV Cribs and all the other things that it had, the MTV Awards. And so, which was big at one point. But yeah, it's crazy to know that it is about to come to an end.
Well, it has. All the music-only spinoffs of MTV are done. They are shut down.
Wow.
MTV still exists, but you're not seeing any music videos. And you kind of hinted at the evolution, because it was just videos only, right? And you had VJs that would sort of tee up the video like a DJ does or did on the radio, but then it also became a source for breaking news.
Hi, I'm Kurt Loder with MTV News. Nirvana leader Kurt Cobain, an extraordinarily gifted singer, songwriter, and guitarist, was found dead in Seattle on Friday morning, apparently a suicide.
Yeah, that was Kurt Loder back in 1994. I remember watching that live, and it was like breaking news, and they were on Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love's house out in Seattle, where he had taken his own life. 2 years prior to that, in 1992, MTV launched a franchise that became maybe the most popular in network history.
This is the true story.
The true story.
Of seven strangers.
Picked to live in a house.
And have their lives changed.
Yeah, the Real World. One of the most successful franchises ever. And then you had a spinoff of that, what was called Road Rules. A little bit different. So you take the Real World concept, seven strangers living in a house in a big city, filming their every move. Then you put it into an RV and have them traveling across the country. That was Road Rules. And then in 1993, cartoons.
I'm Butthead. I think it's probably ready now.
keep shaking, dill hole. It's got to be really, really shook up. My arm's getting tired.
Yeah, Beavis and Butthead became household names much before Johnny Knoxville in 2000.
The following show features stunts performed either by professionals or under the supervision of professionals.
Hi, I'm Johnny Knoxville. Welcome to Jackass.
And the show was definitely true to its name. It was a couple of clowns performing stunts, and the more injured they got, the more success they had, I guess. So he had Jackass going on. Then he had, of course, Jersey Shore. I remember in 2011 being at the Super Bowl, and this guy had a greater security presence than Adam Sandler.
As far as I know, everybody loves the situation. And if you don't love the situation, I'm going to make you love the situation.
A collection of goofballs out in the Jersey Shore filming their every move. So in 2010, MTV would actually drop music television. It was still called MTV, but music television was gone. I mean, they had reinvented themselves. And now, after 44 years, the M in MTV is no longer. So Paramount Global, they own the company, shuttering all of its 24/7 music-only channels. It's a cost-cutting measure, right? People get their videos in different ways. Go to YouTube, type in what you want to see, and you'll have it in a second.
Wow, you just think about what MTV, what they were able to do and how others have kind of prospered from what their ideas were, because there's no Big Brother if there's no Real World.
I think that's right.
Yeah. And so they just found a way to take some of their concepts and move on. But going back to Kurt Loder, what Kurt Loder was kind of the Dan Rather of pop culture.
Yeah.
I mean, because like you said, breaking news, you would find out if bands were separating or if something happened with an artist or anything that the world news would never cover. And so, that is so amazing, like all the things that they were able to do. But you would think over the years and technology, they would find a way to continue to reinvent themselves. And it just seemed like now it's come to an end, and it's just history now.
Well, as we were closing out 2025, music television officially closed out the same way it began. Same crappy song by the Buggles that started in 1981, closed it out in 2025.
I guess it's full circle moment.
No more music television. MTV shutting down the whole idea of music videos. Greg and Telly with you. It's Wisconsin's Midday News on WTMJ. Jessica back on Monday. It's kind of an odd sort of end of the work week here because you had New Year's, a holiday yesterday, and it just sort of feels like an extension of the holiday more so than it does the start of a new year, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. I think traffic is sometimes my barometer with such things, Telly, because it was pretty easy getting into downtown Milwaukee today.
So you know people are still off.
Exactly, right. I'm choosing to take the day off, but thanks for being with us here as we take it to 3 o'clock. The Greek Freak triumphs in the Windy City. Incentives to shop local, and a happy new year to all. It's the Week in Review, and it's brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
Willis pulls. Willis runs. Willis scores. Touchdown, Green Bay.
He had the offense on his back and humming. Now, the problem is the Ravens were methodical in their approach, and they just rushed it down the Packers' throat.
Derrick Henry with a hole. Derrick Henry! Touchdown! King Henry rules all in Green Bay. And they're starting to celebrate in Chicago.
Not a chance.
Giannis takes off the other way, hammers it home.
The rivalry is on here from the Windy City.
Let the games begin. We have partially covered roadways all over the place and about 5 accidents that we've got to deal with.
All day long, we're going to see the roads become snow covered over and over again.
Once they've swallowed sham and hokum, facts and logic won't unchoke them.
It's from Wicked for Good.
Because, you know, the original book was an anti-fascist book.
This shift to make all of these political points within every movie, they're less entertaining to me.
Well, I find them wildly entertaining. Yeah.
This is not the Christmas menu, Gina, which has been out for some time. It's a winter menu.
January 6th, we will officially be done with the holidays, and then it's just winter. But good news for you, though, because your favorite drink returns.
I don't even know what that is.
The pistachio cream cold brew.
Oh, I do like that. Yeah, pistachio is a hot nut.
Can you paint the picture of how important a healthy downtown is?
Favorite success. success story we heard in one local restaurant who sold out of their gift cards immediately. Whenever those people come back to cash in their $2,300, they're going to spend way more than that. So it induces even more spending. That was the whole goal.
Remember back in the day when people, you step on somebody's shoe, a fight's going to start.
Yeah.
There are no more fights. You step on my shoe, I shoot you. Right. Like at some point, do we have to go to another vigil? They have become like car crashes.
Kristen rants about New Year's being January 1st. That's it. Go ahead.
January 1st being the start of the year is a terrible idea. It is cold. It is dark. Everything is dead. Like, there's just way too much going on in December.
From ABC News, the iconic ball drop in New York City, ushering in the new year 2026. Nothing changes on New Year's Day. The city also making history with the swearing in of Zohran Mamdani, New York's first Muslim and first South Asian mayor.
James Michael Flanagan Jr. passed away the day after Christmas in Iron River, Michigan. Flanagan was part of the Packers roster that won Super Bowl II in 1968. After football, he became a longtime business owner.
Nobody hurt in a New Year's Eve fire at a Bartolotta restaurant in Brookfield. Crews responding to a fire at Mr. B's Steakhouse took about 40 minutes to bring that fire under control. They do plan to reopen as soon as possible.
What a week, eh?
What a week.
Pistachio's a hot nut.
Ladies and gentlemen.
A happy new year.
Oh, always good stuff. That is the Week in Review. It's brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited. And text the word week to the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. Text the word week to 855-616-1620. If you'd like to hear it again, we'll send it right to your mobile device. Plenty to get to here coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, including speed skating at the Pettit. Why did the United States choose Milwaukee to build this year's Olympic team? That's right, Olympic speed skating is getting underway today out in West Dallas. Plenty to get to. It's Wisconsin's Midday News on WTMJ.